Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Round Table with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Round Table with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Let me interrupt you. You know, I can say this because I'm white, but I think we've got an early indication that Pat Kelsey's got, there's several white transfers out there that I think we're going to have several white boys on the roster next year. So that, to me, like I said, shooting.
All right, Ty Spaulding with CardinalSports.com. James, James, what do I do with that? My phone's blowing up, James. I just need you to know that right now. I got texts coming from a lot of people right now. Rummage texted me, "White boys, baby, take that, UK fans." We got our own Reed Shepherds now. What do you think about that?
Oh boy. Was he talking about BYU and Kentucky?
This is pre-Mark Pope. This is pre-Mark Pope. This is when he thought we still had Cal. There's breaking news. I'll get to that in a second. UofL football spring game tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. over on 93.9 The Ville. Reds versus Angels, 7 p.m. ESPN 680, 105.7. That's all on Friday. So we have breaking news. Reed Shepherd has decided to forego his college eligibility and enter the NBA draft. We have sound. We'll play that after. Matt McGavick will play that for Cam Drummond. I don't know if he's heard this yet or not. He's in Nashville. So, I mean, all these guys on the Blitz are like, you got McGavick's not anywhere. McGavick's hanging out with us. But he's got spring game tomorrow. You got Ty Spaulding in Florida on a golf trip. You've got Cam Drummond in Nashville.
Well, thirsty peddler or something like that.
Yeah. The thirsty peddler. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go ahead and do it. Let's go ahead. Matt McGavick here with us. Pink Seats Podcast, Louisville Sports Live, SI.com. He's the guy, not Louisville Sports Live, I'm sorry, State of Louisville. He's the guy you need to go to for Cardinal insider information, everything from football to basketball to baseball, you name it. Matt, how you doing, my friend? Thanks for filling in today.
I'm doing good. I don't know how I'm going to follow up that lead-in, but, you know, I'm going to try my best.
Yeah. It's a sad day for us here, BBN McGavick, as Reed Shepherd. Look, if anyone had any, like, real shred of confidence that he's coming back, I never felt that would be the case. When you're top five-ish, I mean, you got to go. So I think he's making the right decision. But enough about BBN. We'll get to that with Cam Drummond. We'll stick to the cards with you. So, I mean, big visits for Pat Kelsey, Jaden Quaintance on campus today. There are rumors, too, that Ali Khalifa may be on campus, the BYU transfer that has Kentucky, BYU, and Louisville on his list. We know Jaden Quaintance is going to be on campus. Have you heard anything about Khalifa, whether or not he's going to be there? Because that is a rumor floating around.
I mean, he's going to be on campus. And I know, like, when it was first announced that, like, Khalifa was, like, in Louisville's top three or, you know, reverse roles. Of course, like, the first thing that Louisville fans think of is, like, oh, it's just a smokescreen.
Right.
From Mark Pope trying to make it look like it's going to be his first recruiting win over Louisville, yada, 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 which, I mean, given how Cal operated, I don't blame fans for thinking that one bit. But, I mean, there's, based on what I've heard and what Ty Spaulding told us over on another show earlier this week, I mean, it sounds like the Khalifa recruitment has some serious legs to it, and then, like, there's a legitimate chance that he could end up there. And it's because, like, there's actually a connection there that not a ton of people know about. Because while he's a native of Egypt, he played his prep ball over in Australia with the NBA Global Academy over there. And one of Louisville's assistant coaches in Michael Cassidy, before he became an assistant coach with Pat Kelsey over at Charleston, he spent, I believe, 4 or 5 years over in Australia with the Center of Excellence who worked alongside the Global Academy. So
okay,
there's some legs there. I'm not sure like how much into play that connection. I assume it's a huge factor considering Khalifa entered the portal with a do not contact tag. So I would assume that the connection there plays a massive role. But yeah. I think we'll see over the next day or so.
Well, I think that, and from what I've understood, I'm like, there's, I mean, not worry from UK fans, but like, you know, there's I guess worry is the right word, that he could leave Louisville with a commitment. Like, he might not even make it to Kentucky's campus. So that's very interesting, two players to keep an eye on. But those are the guys that Pat Kelsey is focusing on. Now, they lost one today, Maddox, the Toledo guard going to Xavier. Any thoughts on that? I know that he was, you know, he visited, what, last weekend, I believe he was there, but decided to take his talents to Sean Miller and Xavier.
Yeah, no, they owe some last week, and like you said, and Louisville had been, I would say, the presumptive favorite for a little bit of time, and of course, Max was always going to be someone that no matter what happened, he wanted to take most of his visits first. He was never going to be someone who committed, like, on the visit, or at least that's what we assumed. So I know when he left Louisville and did not commit, like, right then and there, I know some fans were, you know, a little bit nervous and distraught there. But that was going to be the original plan with Maddox. And then, of course, over the last few days, Xavier kind of made a late push there. And Illinois kind of phased out of the picture with how they've done the portal, picking up guys like Kylan Boswell and Trey Wyatt. So it became a two-horse race with Louisville and Xavier. And in the last, like, day or so, Xavier made a really big push to land him. And of course, he ends up going to Xavier. And, I mean, I don't have any insight on this part, but I think in part it might have to do with the fact that Louisville's also in the mix for a couple other guys who are kind of fit his mold. I know Washington guard Corin Johnson.
Yeah.
He's going to visit this weekend. They sit in a good place with him. And, like, literally, like, an hour or so ago, Wisconsin's Shucky Hepburn in the portal, and some of the early scuttlebutt there is that Louisville's got a real shot there.
Okay, so yeah, maybe some plans post-Matic, so we'll follow that as it goes. Now, Matt McGavick with us. Matt, so spring game tomorrow, I'm sure you'll be out there in all your glory, ready to go. Looks like the weather might be pretty good for the game. I know last year it was just a torrential downpour for most of it. But, I mean, Louisville losing some guys via the portal. I know there was that entire battle with, like, the college football analysis Twitter account or whatever it is that checked. We're bouncing in NIL, but that wasn't the case. But still, you lose Lole, Penny Boone, and Alderman here in the last couple days. Any insight on? We know what Penny Boone's issue was. He was second on the depth chart. He wasn't happy about it, so he left. What about the other two guys?
With Lole, I mean, I think it comes down to the fact that defensive tackle was honestly kind of deep, because they brought in a guy like Thor Griffith, who's not in spring ball yet. He's still finishing out his last semester at Harvard, which, you know, don't blame him there. But he was a guy who was generating some serious, like, you know, blue blood interest in the portal, like, from the likes of, like, Ohio State and Michigan. So he's, I mean, you can pencil him as a starter right now, and he's not even taking a practice rep with Louisville. And from what I've seen, Jordan Garab, the IU transfer, he's looked pretty good. And then you've got returners like Desmond Pell, Toffee Thomas, Ramon Perrier. I mean, he played some inside last year, but based on what I've seen in spring, he might get bounced out to the edge. But if he doesn't, he's still in the mix. And with Lole, I mean, he was taking reps, like, in his position group and, like, doing that.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, 11-on-11 periods and scrimmages and stuff like that, he still wasn't really an active participant. I don't have any insight on, like, what exactly, if there was an injury still bugging him. But, I mean, all signs point to, like, there was still something bugging him, but it wasn't, like, completely limiting him. So, I mean, when you put that into account, and then the relative depth you have on the inside of the defensive line, it makes complete sense as to why he would transfer. And as to Alderman, I mean, that is a big blow. I mean, he had a tremendous bounce-back season. He went from literally not playing a single rep in 22 to being a starter in 23 and playing a really good role in the front seven's overall efforts when it comes to stopping the run and all that. But then, like, when you kind of take a step back and kind of see how the rest of the inside linebacker position has come along. I mean, TJ Quinn, obviously their leading tackle from last season, he's done really well. Stanquan Clark, their standout true freshman from last season, is continuing to look really good, and he's got a really high ceiling because he's uber talented. Gervonta Davis, the Texas A&M transfer, who's been all over the place. The coaching staff has really liked what he's shown in spring ball. And then TJ Capers, who was kind of in the doghouse to begin spring ball. A few weeks after that, I mean, we had his position coach saying that he's made a cognizant decision to actually get better. So hearing that is automatically like a green light right there. And then I think at the last open practice, he was taking some reps with the ones and twos at inside linebacker. So he's clearly made some progress over the last like few weeks of spring ball. So that's also a position group where you look at the two deep and like, okay, there's going to be a lot of guys cycling in and out here.
It's just being reported via Truly Donovan's Discord that it appears that Ali Khalifa will stay in Louisville. That's the early reports coming out from that, McGavick. So it looks like you may have lost Maddox, but you may have picked up a point forward, as we heard him be called the other day by, I believe David Sisk said that. He's like a point forward, average, I think, 5.7 points per game, 4 assists, and like 3.8 rebounds. So there you go. You lose one and maybe get another one. Last one for you, Matt. What are you going to do out there for the spring game tomorrow? What are you going to be looking for? I know it's just a spring game. You can't really tell too much from these. It's like a glorified practice, but I'm sure you have some things that your brain is going to be picking apart as Brom leads the team on the field for the first time this spring.
It's funny you mentioned that because I actually published a piece this morning touching on this exact topic. So I'll just give you a quick rundown.
Oh, let's go.
So, kind of what I mentioned to you a second ago, how like there's guys who kind of progress over the going from spring ball and kind of take advantage of maybe guys getting hurt. I mean, we're going to see one-on-one for like a drive or two. And then after that, you're going to give the guys a bigger chance. So I'm going to I'm going to be looking for like who could be in line to earn a bigger role. Someone like I mentioned earlier, TJ Capers, who was getting some reps for ones and twos. Mm-hmm. Who else could be like, and get a bigger role than maybe we originally thought. I do want to see the chemistry between Tyler Shuck, the new transfer quarterback, and some of his various weapons in the passing game, because they've made a cognizant effort to boost up the wide receiver room. They made a cognizant effort to really boost up the tight end room to where, like, you know, it's actually a feasible option. So I'm very curious to see how that kind of looks out in our first, like, really true live session. I'll be curious to see what the rushing attack looks like now that Penny Boone has kind of hit the skids.
Yeah.
Because I know he was going to be someone who got a big role, but I mean, like, after what we saw last season, like, there wasn't going to be a true feature back. I mean, Jordan would get a drive, and Isaac Grindle would get a drive,
sure,
and Maurice Turner would get a drive. Like, I mean, Boone wasn't going to command it, so I'm going to be curious to see how, like, the overall running backs have developed. On the defensive side, I'll be looking at the depth and the talent at the cornerback. Because, I mean, when talking to the defensive coaches, they have nothing but great things to say about that spot. They feel really good about their first five guys on the depth chart at cornerback. So I'll be very intrigued to see how they perform. And then, you know, lastly, I'm actually going to be looking for some new wrinkles in the scheme. Because I know while Wolf defense, you know, it was great last season. It obviously was the anchor for the whole team. But it did kind of falter in the second half, and it did have moments to where, like, it didn't look nearly as crisp as it did before. So a couple of the coaches mentioned during spring ball that they're going to be introducing some new potential wrinkles in the scheme to kind of shake things up, kind of toy with, like, what works, what doesn't. I remember my good friend Keith Wynn, we watched a spring practice, and it was like the fourth or fifth open one, and he pointed out to me that there was a formation where Ben Perry and Antonio Watts were an inside linebacker, and they're traditionally like the linebacker safety hybrid. Mm-hmm. And then behind them, there were three corners and three safeties. So it's like a quarter formation almost. So, like, stuff like that is what I'm going to be looking for.
Fantastic. Well, we'll look for your write-up after that. Matt McGavick, appreciate the time, man. Have fun tomorrow. Enjoy it. Don't work too hard. Have some fun, too, okay? Have some leisure time out there at the spring game.
Oh, the leisure will come during Thunder.
Oh, there we go. Absolutely. All right, Matt McGavick, appreciate your time, man. Have
See
a great
you,
weekend.
Take care, y'all. Thank you.
All right. We'll move to Lexington, Kentucky. Actually, we'll move to Nashville, Tennessee. Cam Drummond. Cam, some news coming down. Have you seen the news?
You got me there, Strable?
Yeah, there you are. Okay. Have you seen the news, Cam?
Oh, yeah. I'm coming to you live on my off day from a parking garage in Nashville, Tennessee. But when Reed Sheppard enters the NBA draft, it's time to make some content and discuss the ramifications of it.
Well, I mean, it's expected, right, Cam? I mean, this isn't anything that if there are Kentucky fans out there that thought he was going to come back, and I know Mark Pope made the comment during his coronation, you know, that Shepherd will lead us, and the fans were like, ah! And Jeff looked at him like he wanted to kill him. And then you had the lip-reading fiasco where he's meeting Jeff Shepherd and said, I know it's over, I'll call you anyway. I mean, everyone knew this was going to happen, but, this is a big blow to Mark Pope and, honestly, Kentucky as well. There was thought that Reed Shepherd might come back. I never bought it, but there it is.
Yeah, no, certainly. I mean, first off, yeah, I don't think anyone could have expected Reed Shepherd to come back for a sophomore season. I mean, as much as obviously there's a family connection with Mark Pope and Jeff Shepherd, and obviously nobody loves Kentucky basketball and the state of Kentucky more than Reed Shepherd, the fact also is that he would be foregoing a significant amount of money and really the opportunity of a lifetime to be an NBA draft lottery pick, especially in a draft class that's as weak as this. With that all being said, I think that Kentucky fans maybe aren't always rational at times, right? Maybe a larger segment than people would like to admit thought that there was a strong chance or maybe closer to a 50-50 chance that Reed Shepherd would come back. Obviously, that's not the case. And as you mentioned, and I've seen some of the tweets and some of the social media posts, I think maybe you're not the only Kentucky fan either that's getting a little bit angsty in terms of,
oh, yeah,
okay, we're hearing this move in silence, you know, real G's moving lasagna, to quote the late John Calipari. People want to see some results. They want to see some tangible players on Mark Pope's first Kentucky roster. And obviously there's a long time between now and when summer practices begin and getting, you know, that team assembled for next year. But not having Reed Shepherd a part of it is going to be a significant blow. And it also means that whatever this first Kentucky team looks like, it will truly be a Mark Pope Kentucky team. He is going to go out and whatever players he gets via the transfer portal or traditional high school recruiting, they're going to be players that he wants and he's identified for his system. There's essentially zero meaningful holdovers now, aside from Travis Perry from the John Calipari era. This is officially 100% brand new Mark Pope's Kentucky basketball program.
There's also been reports on Trilly Donovan's Discord that Ali Khalifa, who is visiting Louisville right now, will actually stay in Louisville. And again, this is just a Discord report, but there have been some hints. I know Nick Coffey just tweeted out just a picture of Ali Khalifa. He covers the Cards here in town, has a radio show and everything. So I know that's a guy that also was on Mark Pope's list, maybe staying in Louisville. Look, Matt Jones reported, Cam, that he's on a plane visiting three players right now. But I told my co-host right now, Phil Baker, that if Kentucky doesn't have at least two commits by next Thursday when I do the show with them again, that it's going to be a get to work, Big Pope. I mean, we got to get going. Is Big John sleeping? Is Big Pope sleeping? I mean, let's go. We got to get some commits here.
Well, the thing I'll say, and for any Kentucky fans maybe experiencing kind of the feelings that you're having, I'd direct them to Kentucky.com and Kentucky.com/sports because my colleague Ben Roberts published something, I believe yesterday morning, or maybe it was this morning, the days are all a blur now, that basically talked about how it's not too late for Mark Pope to put together, a really competitive basketball roster for next season. One that, again, is high in KenPom and should fare well in the SEC and the NCAA tournament. Now, just because it's not too late doesn't mean that there still won't be reservations if certain players don't line up. And you mentioned Ali Khalifa a second ago. He was obviously a big man last season at BYU who really unlocked his passing ability, is a floor spacer as well. Someone who we know after a season's worth of evidence fits in perfectly within Mark Pope's 5-out, 3-point friendly offense. And that was also kind of the archetype that a lot of people thought Zvonimir Visic could be at the college level and could be in a Mark Pope system.
Yeah.
Now, if all of a sudden you're looking at no big men with prior connection to that end up, staying to play for you at Kentucky, maybe a couple more panic bells go off. And so obviously there's plenty of time for a roster to get assembled. That being said, it's only natural for fans and observers of the program to want things to move at a bit of a quicker pace, especially when it's not just one or two players Mark Pope is replacing, it's the entire roster. And it's going to be the entire roster at a place like Kentucky, at the expectations at a place like Kentucky that he's done nothing to diminish either. I mean, we all saw him during the introductory press conference pointing up to the 96 title banner.
Yeah.
Talking about people being there at Kentucky. You only come here if you think you can raise banners. I think, to a reasonable extent, the fan base will have some patience with him and will understand that it's just year one, long-term plan. But that doesn't mean you can go out and whiff on a ton of guys in the portal, whiff on a ton of guys, you know, coming with you from a BYU team. And like you mentioned, you know, a week from now, if we're still looking at here with a roster of only three or four players, that'd be a little bit alarming. And I will say that aside from some of those former BYU guys, I would expect people to be taking transfer portal or high school recruiting visits to Kentucky before they're committing. So I don't think this would be a case of a kid leaving a school and then one day later committing to Kentucky. I think this might be a little bit more of a patient process in terms of someone leaves a school, they set up a visit to Kentucky, then a commitment would occur, something like we might potentially see with Amari Williams, sure, former Drexel forward. So I will caution that to say I don't think this is going to be a thing where kids enter the portal, they get on the phone with Pope and immediately commit to UK. I think there's going to be a little bit more of a feeling out process with Pope, especially, you know, kind of giving some of his characteristics as a coach and as a person. But that being said, you know, I don't expect to hop on with you the same time next week if they only have three or four players and for you to not be kind of saying the same thing in terms of let's go, you know, let's get this this ball rolling downhill a bit faster.
Last one for you, Cam Drummond. That lets you get back to your fun in Nashville. Appreciate you hanging out with me. Last question. So you mentioned something that I've been thinking about. You said, you know, Kentucky fans being patient with Mark Pope this first season. What does that patience look like? Because you and I both know, you know, I mean, we can say, oh, yeah, we'll be patient with him now. But when we get in the season, if he starts losing games, I'm not saying he's going to do this, but, you know, you brought the patience question. But you know what's going to happen if he starts losing some of these games early on in the non-conference and starts losing some games in the SEC. That patience will be gone. I mean, I think that patience is lip service. I don't think that this mythical patience that people are trying to say, oh, well, this season might be a little slow. He'll get his guys in and we'll see what happens next season. Like you said, he pointed the 96 championship banner. I don't think there's a next season will be okay. This season is going to be a honeymoon period, a grace period. I believe that wholeheartedly, but I don't think he gets that.
Right, certainly, and yeah, I think, you know, he's got a bit of a long-term contract. I don't think, you know, anyone expects him to, you know, be removed or fired if he has a bad season.
Absolutely not.
I know it's kind of insane to talk about a coach, you know, being, you know, almost wearing patience thin after being hired for less than a week.
But that's Kentucky. That's Kentucky.
Right, yeah. That's the spotlight on things. And I think, you know, given some other stuff that's happening in the Kentucky Athletics Department right now, there could be, you know, some more upheaval or some more change. So, you know, I think there might be a lot of moving pieces as this season, you know, for better and worse, moves along. And look, I think to an extent fans will be patient. I think, you know, honestly, I think fans will be refreshed at first just to see a different Kentucky basketball team. And, you know, even, you know, from the media side and from the fan side, I think it's going to take a little bit of understanding that, hey, this team isn't going to be laden with five-star freshmen. There's not going to be, you know, a ton of surefire NBA first-round draft picks, one and done on this first Mark Pope roster. That being said, if he starts out, you know, hypothetically 2-3 in SEC play, or they drop a couple non-conference games that maybe they shouldn't, you know, I think there's going to be a healthy, you know, some of that healthy skepticism that we first saw emerge, I know mainly on social media when the hire was made, that might start to grow a bit more. And obviously, Kentucky fans, you know, have one standard, and that's to compete for championships. You know, you'd expect Mark Pope to do well with whatever players he does end up assembling for this Kentucky roster.
Yes.
Because he does have a good track record of that. I mean, doing what he did last year at BYU, punching far above their weight, was, you know, certainly impressive to see. But, you know, it's a zero-sum game, right? It's all about winning. So if Mark Pope goes 500 in SEC play for his first Kentucky basketball season, you know, doesn't do much in the way of the postseason, then, yeah, the pressure's going to be on for next season. And something that I'll just be fascinated to see the next couple weeks as well is, you know, as he puts the staff together, as he puts a roster together, what's he look like targeting for the future in terms of 25 and 26 recruits? Because if he's not going to be having, you know, the consistent pipeline of one-and-done talent that John Calipari was synonymous with at Kentucky, you're going to be looking at guys that he's maybe bringing in as two- or three-year players, you know, consistency, building the program, setting a foundation. And that might make, you know, that means they might not be gangbusters, you know, year one. They may not be elite talent players year one. That might be a year two, year three progression thing. So that's the thing I'm most interested to see with the Pope era beginning this season is just the combination, the marriage, if you will, between instant expectations, the instant desire that Kentucky basketball and Kentucky basketball fans have to win versus, okay, this is a guy who's probably in it for more of the long run. He's going to be getting players that are maybe projecting better on the 2 to 3 year time span than just the one and done time span. And if, you know, doing one of the other, you know, kind of upsets the apple cart, if that makes sense.
All right, Cam Drummond, appreciate the time. Enjoy Nashville. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
See you, buddy.
All right, appreciate it. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, Cam Drummond. Let's go to our friend Zach Osterman. Zach, the Indy star. How you doing? I know you don't have too long, Zach, so let's cut to the chase here. Mike Woodson has been killing it this offseason in the transfer portal. Left the regular season with so many questions. A disappointing year in the Big Ten. A disappointing year overall as they didn't make it to the NCAA tournament. But being able to keep a guy like McKenzie Mbako, getting the number one player in the transfer portal as of now. Just give us a little insight on who has Mike Woodson gotten out of the transfer portal, and this team's going to be a lot different than it was last season. I don't think Zach potted him up. Hold on a second, Zach. I'm sorry. Hold on.
I got you.
Oh, there you are. Never mind.
I had mute on. I always turn mute on because I don't want to, like, suddenly chime in.
Oh, you're good. Thank you.
You're good.
No, it's not been the perfect offseason. There's probably no such thing in the portal era. But, I mean, if you gave Indiana, if you gave Mike Woodson, if you gave his fans what's gone on so far between who's confirmed coming back, obviously, who they've brought in, Bryson Tucker, Miles Rice, most recently, Umar Ballo. I think you would, you know, you would feel good about basically the trajectory there. I think Indiana's still incomplete, not just in terms of bodies, but needs. But you've kind of got, you know, you got some pieces. You've got a center who I think is going to solve a lot of your rebounding issues from last season, who's obviously proven it at the highest level in college. You got a point guard who, you know, I mean, there's probably an argument for him as the best pure point guard, probably the best pick and roll point guard in the portal cycle, at least thus far. Bryson Tucker, you know, we'll see kind of how he develops in terms of whether he starts or not, but I think if nothing else, he gives you flexibility. You know, if you want to go from two big lineups to sort of two wing lineups with McKenzie Mbako back and so forth, I think you're seeing, you know, Mike Woodson with a pretty firm plan that he's executing. I think you're also seeing Mike Woodson, you know, using, and I think we might have talked about this, you know, when Indiana kind of announced that he was going to come back and that, you know, that there would be no coaching change. Indiana really secured some, I guess you'd say, boosted NIL resources, basically. And I think you're seeing, you know, the fruits of that as well. Mike Woodson taking that into the portal, taking it obviously into the high school recruiting sector and having some success.
And it's usually the opposite, Zach. I mean, we just saw John Calipari he didn't get fired, but basically got run out of town. And one of the reasons why he decided to go to Arkansas is because the NIL money had dried up, because fans and boosters were so tired of losing early in March that they just stopped giving. And now that Mark Pope has been named the coach, apparently all the NIL floodgates have been opened. So that is interesting that IU went the opposite direction. Instead of withholding money from Mike Woodson, they decided to give him more, and he's doing a good job with it. We'll see what he does. You know, there are some concerns that the offense is still going to look the same as it did, relying on the bigs and kind of, you know, Mike Woodson being stubborn the way Calipari was. Sorry to keep using Calipari, but those two coaches I think have a lot of similarities in multiple things. But stuck in his offensive system until last season, so you know it will be interesting. Now, one more thing before we let you go, the Indiana football spring game is tonight. You know, not the traditional time to do it, but a Thursday night, they get it all to themselves on the Big Ten Network. What are you looking at for Coach Cignetti in his first spring game in Bloomington?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with spring games, you're always, you know, kind of couching it. You're never going to read too much into it. I think there's a few things. I think, obviously, you know, where some pieces are offensively, particularly your quarterbacks, your running backs, a lot of transfer wide receivers. Get a feel for what Kurt Cignetti does offensively, because that's always kind of been his calling card. He was an offensive coach, you know, coming up, and he's even said, I've got guys who call the plays and coordinate for me, but it is my offense, and that's where I, you know, kind of keep more of a hands-on approach, essentially. The other piece, I think, is just kind of how some guys are settling and maybe to some extent where the holes still are. You know, I mean, you look at this team – Defensive line depth really needs some work. You know, Ian has already taken another transfer in the the defensive secondary. You know, just basically kind of where does it maybe, as Indiana talks about, and we've heard Chris Ignatie talk about probably being active in the portal kind of, you know, once the spring cycle opens up, and that's going to be maybe a little bit more active than normal because the NCAA still hasn't closed this rule about multi-time transfers. Where is Indiana maybe look shortest?
Yeah.
Because it does seem like Ignatie is, you know, has his mind on getting into the portal, probably not for, you know, I'm not talking about 8 or 10 guys, but probably for at least 2 or 3, maybe even 4 or 5, depending on, you know, whether those players are there. It'll be kind of interesting to see that. And then, you know, the other part of this too, and I wrote about this, in today's paper, this is the first time Indiana's had a spring game since 2019.
And
to be honest, you know, there were 2 years where they didn't do it because of COVID protocols and all that different stuff. To be completely honest, there were 2 years where Indiana didn't host a spring game, and part of the reason was because they just kind of didn't feel like there was a lot of energy around it. 2022, Tom Allen had remade so much of his roster, he kind of wanted to keep it all behind the curtain. And last year, Indiana kind of did this sort of like spring football festival, but it was very much sort of, I don't know, still kind of, you know, limited or a little bit sort of like, hey, you know, we want to do this, but, you know, we probably can't just go all out kind of spring game. They're doing that this time, and I think it's reflective of just a level of engagement and energy that fans have around where Kurt Ignatie is right now.
Absolutely. Well, Zach, appreciate the time, my man. Thank you for the good info. We'll talk again next week. Again, I've been impressed with what Mike Woodson's done. He's done well with that NIL money. We'll see what the rest of the team construct looks like, but that's good stuff. And like you said, excitement back for Indiana football. At least that's what Kurt Ignatie he's trying to do. Appreciate it, Zach. Have a great afternoon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right. There we go. The Blitz is over. How about that? Little IU football on a Thursday. They're at their spring game tonight. How about that, Phil?
I know. It's throwing me off. When you said tonight, I was like, wow.
This tonight.
I have not been on Inside the Hall this morning or 8, something. Alex 8
p.m. Bozich. 8 p.m. Big Ten Network. Lock in.
Is it Big Ten Network Plus? I didn't know if it was a scenario like the Kentucky Blue-White game that you couldn't find anywhere.
Let me see. Let's see here. Nope, just Big Ten Network, baby. I'm looking
wow.
right now.
I mean, what does the SEC Network have on so they can't have on the freaking Blue-White game?
The Daily Hoosier's telling me that.
Reputable source.
Seth Toe.
Sneaky good name.
It's a great name. Seth Toe is a great name. T-O-W, not T-O-E.
It feels like that's something from a children's book. It's like a frog. Like a toad.
Like a toad. Seth Toad. All right, let's read some text here real quick. We'll take a quick break and get back. I want to maximize my Phil Baker experience. Texter, can Kelsey steal JQ away from Cal in Arkansas? That's
By the
question.
Way, so Trilly Donovan put out something. If you want to get into the business of reading through cryptic tweets and GIFs or GIFs, whatever you want to call it, it was him putting on his glasses and smiling.
I think it's Khalifa.
Okay.
I think that's Khalifa. I think that's done. I think that's because that's
boy, Sofro's gonna have to redo that ESPN
exactly.
Global Plus one.
That's the first thing Sweetie texted me. He's like he's seeing the stuff on here, and he saw the fact that Sofro had done the video. Like it's this big conspiracy theory, which I love. You know me, that the only reason Khalifa had Kentucky, had Louisville on his list was just to spurn Louisville. Like Sofro, you gotta do an apology video now.
Well, you
gotta do Greg Doyle style apology.
What are you doing with your hand, Sofro?
What did he do with his hand?
He's doing the heart?
A little heart hand.
But here's the thing where Sofro is becoming he's still a Padawan, but a Jedi-ish, and he couldn't lose either way.
No, he couldn't.
That's your move right there. That's the lock move. But you.
Well, my move is I losing, quote, losing Ali Khalifa does nothing to me. I don't think he's good.
See? I mean, that's
and
the pivot.
I was never like, yeah, we'll get Khalifa in here. He's going to be, like, I've talked very little about Khalifa, like 5.7 points a game. He can go with Pat Kelsey and run the cute kitty offense, whatever he's got going on over there. Maybe he'll get a pair of glasses for his commit.
Little Marvin Stone 2.0.
Marvin Stone 2.0.
RIP, shout out to him.
Is he related to Wiz or Mia Khalifa?
You familiar with her work?
I'm familiar with both of their work.
Is it a favorite on your on your browser?
Which one are you more familiar with? Wiz or Mia?
Equally both.
Like whizzing on.
Last time Louisville fans were this excited about a Khalifa, that excitement didn't last very long.
It didn't. 15 seconds.
15 seconds?
That's what it was. 15.
Nice work.
All right, let's take a break. On the other end, we'll play the Reed Shepherd sound. I want to play that. I haven't heard it yet. I've saved it for our reaction on air, but he's gone.
Are you going to cry?
No, I'm not going to cry. Well, I mean, he was...
Will Kellen cry?
Oh, jeez.
Oh. I mean, like, it's a serious topic because, like, I know how he feels.
Should we call him?
Look, this is parenting 101 for you. If you want to break the news live AM radio, you don't think it's going to traumatize him, please.
This break can wait. He needs to know.
Oh, so we're going to do this right now.
You want to do it right now?
Look, you're the parent.
Let's do it right now.
Okay, we're doing this. All right.
Here we go. You ready?
Pot them up.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Zach, I'm going to text. Can I call him on this? Okay. I don't know. Let's take a break. Zach, I'm going to give you Kellen's phone number.
That's weird.
You can call him live on air, and I'll break the news to him live on air. Okay? All right, before we do that, Sonatrol of Louisville, don't give strange people your children's phone numbers. if you need security, the place to go is Sonatrol of Louisville. 350 five-star reviews on Google, that means they're the number one security company in Kentucky. They've been locally owned and family operated for over 35 years. They have the best technology, the best technicians. They have that zero false alarm guarantee. They have those high resolution cameras that can see at night. You don't need one of those little cameras on your front door where it's grainy and it's weird. You can't really see anything. Get the best. If you want to get the bang for your buck, get Sonatrol of Louisville. They actually they communicate with the police or the fire department as they're on the way to your home or your business. If you have issues, they'll service your stuff down the road as well. Go ahead, call them at 502-966-8999 or go to sonatrolky.com.
It's predictable. The way that college basketball bennies have been waiting so long to bleep all over freshmen. They've been waiting for it, and they've gotten their opportunity.
I agree.
And they're running with it. Last year's Final Four made them so hot, Andy. Oh, they loved it. Oh, look at all these veterans out here. Oh, my God. You've got guys that are 23 years. That's what turns me on. Slow 23-year-olds that I'll never see play in the NBA. That's what I want college basketball to be, Andy. I want FAU to be college basketball. Basketball bennies like that.
You're listening to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
All right, welcome back to the Round Table. That was me being mean and nasty. So go ahead, Zach.
Didn't age well, did it?
No, it did not, because those are the waters I'm swimming in. So go ahead, make the phone call, Zach.
Oh, boy.
Oh, here we go. So he's going to call my 12-year-old son, Kellen, and we'll see what he thinks about the news. I don't want to break it just in case he's listening right now. I told his grandmother to make sure he picks up.
What is he doing? Playing a little Call of Duty right now? Or is it homework? What's going on?
It's either homework. A lot of times he's outside playing basketball about this time, so I was hoping that he'd be inside.
So he could be wearing his Reed Shepherd hoodie.
He could be. He's not picking up. Why is he not picking up? Okay,
he's being a kid.
We're calling. Let me text him. Pick up your phone. Pick up the phone. It's me.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's him. Okay, there he is. He called back. Okay, there he is. Okay,
All right, we got to get ready to pod this up for him.
All right, we're going to pod this up. So this is, okay. All right, here he's talking to Zach. All right, live on air. Okay. Hello, Kellen, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, I have some news for you.
Do you want to play this?
Okay, I'm going to play something for you, okay? I want your live reaction on air, okay? You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Zach, play it.
Big Blue Nation, I'm just a little boy from London, Kentucky with a big dream. Playing basketball at the University of Kentucky was a huge part of my dream. I'm so thankful to wear the blue and white jersey that represents my family, my friends, and the hardworking, faithful fans of the Big Blue Nation. Kentucky is home. Kentucky will always be home. However, there is another part of my dream, to play basketball in the NBA. I believe it is time to pursue that dream. Therefore, I will be entering my name into the NBA draft today. BBN, you have been with me from day one, faithful and passionate. I'm asking you to go with me on this journey. I'm looking forward to taking you with me. I'll represent you with all the characteristics that make us Kentuckians. Passion, humility, perseverance, sacrifice, and joy. And one day, I'll return to family, to friends, to Kentucky, my home. I love you, BBN. Thank you.
All right, Kellen, what'd you think?
Well, I was not shocked. I knew from the second everyone announced, oh, Mark Pope's going to be the coach. I was like, Reed Shepard's gone. I don't care how. It was Reed Shepard's choice. It was never Jeff's choice. Like, everyone was like, Jeff is good friends with Pope. He's going to get him to stay. It was never Jeff's choice. Reed would rather go to the NBA and make big bucks and be a star there than stay at Kentucky and most likely not do anything. If Calipari would have stayed, I think Reed would have stayed, but he didn't. And look where we are now.
Wow.
As Zach said in my ear, boy,
how about
kid, are
that?
You a Strebel? I
wow.
completely agree.
Actually, Cal, I like your take there. I thought you'd be more sad, but it sounds like you're learning. You're because I prepared you well for what it is like as a Kentucky fan, at least right now. It's a lot of disappointment. It's a lot of get excited, get pumped up, and then, like I told you, what I tell you in March, you're like, Kentucky, you're making the Final Four. What did I say?
Lost first round or second round.
I said, don't get your hopes up, right?
Yeah.
Is it sad? Are you okay?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't really shocked because, again, Reed Shepard, who would you rather play for? Most likely you're going to play with Victor Wembanyama, very good basketball player. You're going to play for Greg Popovich. You're going to play, you're going to be a very good guard for an up-and-coming Spurs team or play for a Kentucky team that will most likely be middle of the pack SEC next year and that won't be overachieving and won't be winning championships and Final Fours, and we won't see them making deep runs.
All right. Well, thank you, Kellen. Have a great afternoon. I'll see you on the way. I'll take you to baseball practice here in a little bit, okay?
Okay, bye.
All right, bye. All right, there we go.
Don't worry,
kid.
So
Kellen's reaction.
I'll
there
get you a Utah Jazz Reed Shepard jersey that I'm sure will be a shrine of him outside of a statue built for him from AliExpress or
yes.
DHgate from your Uncle Phil over here.
And to the texter 4217 that just took a shot about 12-year-old kid, you're effing blocked. I hope you – that's your last text. That's your last text, big boy. And yeah, you're lucky you're not here right now. You're done. You are done. That's your last. That is your last text.
Oh, boy. He's getting mad.
That's your last text.
Okay. I didn't see this.
No, it's his last text. You're done.
Done.
You say something about my kid, you're freaking done.
Strebel's, yeah, look.
Don't you ever, ever, ever. You're done. Like, I'm serious.
Block him. It's all good.
No, I don't know how to do it. Can you do
yeah,
it?
I'll do it for you.
Block that MF right now. Block his ass. Don't. I don't want a DM from you saying, "Oh, unblock me." No, F you. Get out of my face.
Well, he'll get a Reed Shepard jersey from Uncle Phil when he goes. I'm going to play for Popovich and not the Great White Pope.
Right. I'll change back into like normal Strebel now. But no, you. I better never see you. That's all I will say. I better never see you. You better not let me know who you are. Period. Freaking period.
I'll block it for you.
Yeah, so. Thank you.
Everybody's outstanding analysis by Kelly.
He did. No, the texts are overwhelmingly positive. Overwhelmingly positive. Then you have one AH that's got to be a little joke. So yeah, I just like, have you ever seen me mad?
No, I haven't. It takes forever to load up on your
yeah.
side. I haven't even seen the text yet, but
yeah.
Strebel was about to turn into the incredible bulk right there. Rightfully so.
I was. I mean,
that was Blankenbaker.
That lady called about his daughter.
My 9-month-old daughter.
Right.
There's some things you just don't do. Did you see this? Locke retweeted it. It was from like 9. It was the Philly Sports Talk Radio. It was the 7 rules of sports talk radio. Did
yeah.
you see this?
No, I did not see
so,
this.
So you need to have one. You need to have. I'll get with the graphics department and Microsoft Word and PowerPoint, and we will make one for James Strebel. We'll make one of the things, the do's and don'ts for James Strebel.
Right. That's one of the things is. You know, I know it's. Do you leave kids alone?
Yeah. Yes.
You leave kids alone.
How he just was. You just put the quarter at him though, and he just goes.
He's got takes. I mean, that's the thing. He's got takes. He's ready to go. He's not radio shy at all.
I feel like every time I've seen him around the studio in the last, 3 to 4 months, he's been wearing a Reed Shepherd hoodie too.
He got that for Christmas.
Yeah.
That was a Christmas. That's the thing. He loves Reed Shepherd. That's his favorite player. It's probably because he's only been a fan for a handful of years. And the thing is he's his favorite. I mean, he's when he was really young, Willie Cauley Stein was like his early favorite. When he was like little, he liked Willie Cauley Stein because he was like engaging and funny. And then obviously last year, he liked Oscar Shebue. He had an Oscar Shebue t-shirt. He loved Oscar, he even had the Lynn Bowden t-shirt. He liked Lynn Bowden, but Reed Shepherd was like his guy. He's a Kentucky kid. He probably feels like he has things in common with him, but he took it very well.
I need him to be drafted by the Jazz, man. I need him to be drafted by the Jazz, or I know it, like he's been top 5, top 10 pick, man. So
he is. Yeah,
what you got to talk about? Pope. He couldn't close his roommate. That's all I'm saying. Pope couldn't close
Pope
the roommate.
Couldn't close the roommate's kid. All right, let's read some text. Texter, that Kellen is great analysis, and young man, that horrible Texter needs to get a better dog. Damn right. Texter, Streeple, I hate your takes, but I will help you kick that guy's ass. Thank you. Appreciate it. Texter, Trilly Donovan, Mark Fox to UK in administration role.
Mark, you get God?
I don't think so. Just say Mark Fox to UK for administration role heating up. Mark Fox!
He gave Popey a shot.
He did. No, he was at Georgia. You're exactly right.
He gave Mark him a shot.
Popey boy was at was at Georgia. Absolutely. Man.
What else is Trilly saying? He put out the Pat Kelsey. What I can't understand, and I understand this is why he has the Discord and everything, but he puts the hot, spicy things on the Discord.
Which
everyone takes a screenshot of and puts on
and
the internet.
And he doesn't care about it.
And he doesn't care.
You all can share whatever you want on here.
And just put it on Twitter.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm like, bro, you can double dip. I mean, Rummage is paying for the $7 a month, which, I mean.
Is he really? Yeah, Shout out to Rummage.
He admitted that, but.
Good for him.
It's like Netflix and everything. We're going to share the passwords as much as possible.
Absolutely. All right, there's some more text here. Let's see here. There's an image sent. UK media trying to explain everything is okay with Pope, and it's that gif of Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia with the cigarette connecting dots. Exactly right. Texter, you don't talk about kids unless you want to get curb stomped. Exactly.
Streams was about to go curb stomped right there.
Yeah,
he was turning blue. He doesn't turn red. He was turning blue.
I turned blue. Exactly. Dixie Highway ready to roll. Thank you. Texter, I'm with you, Streeble. That guy must not have kids. Bleep with anything but my family. BB and Blue Mess. Oh, yeah. People call me a fat hog on here or whatever. I don't care.
Take it in stride.
It's part of the gig. It's part of the gig. I understand that. That's the contract we all sign when we get on air. But when it comes to the kid, don't leave kids alone. Absolutely.
He was good, too.
He was good.
He was giving takes about it. It's Cal came back, he would be here. If not, this is what you get when you
and
get
he was
Popey
mad,
boy.
And he was mad because of that. That's why he did name calling and said some nasty things about Kellen because he said if Cal he made a positive Cal comment. And that's something that I talked about the Essential State, Phil, and I want your thoughts on this too before we take a break and get Andy. I mean, it's like And again, I'd say this for the 1 billionth time for everybody to understand that I am 100% okay with Cal going. He needed to go. But there's this
you got to dunk on him on the way
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Yeah. There's this overwhelming need to paint Calipari's years as always being terrible, and he's this awful villain that we never really liked anyway. And I, for one, I don't get that. I guess it was the same way, though, when Tubby Smith left, too.
Look,
it probably was.
And I understand, I hate going the zero to the red v blue stuff, but even like the Chris Mack, Kenny Payne stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You got him the number one in the country. I understand the Dino Gaudio stuff and this other way up.
Right.
Not the best,
yeah.
But this notion, and I heard Louie and Zach talking about it this morning, too. This notion that just like it's okay that a Hall of Famer is gone.
Yeah.
And what he did in the first round of the tournament is unacceptable to a place like Kentucky. I cannot reset that enough.
Yes.
But to just say like, we'll replace it.
It'll be fine.
No biggie.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Like, oh, no, I'm with you.
What? And it's just, it's asinine to me. And look, Mark Pope may figure it out, and he's got the backing. And that's why I go back to over and over again, and I stayed by this. We talked about it last week. It feels like he is a much more manageable personality. Mark Pope will do anything that Barnhart and the Crafts ask them to do versus what you had in John Calipari, who wanted to be a bull in a china shop. And,
right.
And he's not going to be in a titled program, play for the name on the front, not the name on the back, and all these little pot shots that have gone at John Calipari, but it's still a Hall of Fame coach. There's going to be difficult people you work with in any aspect of life, and it's just the thing that Mitch Barnhart told me is like, I want somebody that I can work well with. Like
exactly.
Kyle Tucker said that with you last week,
he did.
I was just like, man, that really like was an epiphany of like, holy hell, Mitch Barnhart's telling Big Blue Nation, I want to work with somebody who I'm not going to clash personalities with. I don't give a hell about the results.
Right.
And we'll figure it out a couple of years from now.
And here's the thing, too. He also said this, like, that's why he didn't even, like entertain a guy like Bruce Pearl. Because he wanted to be as far away from the Calipari. And I get it. Like, I guarantee Calipari was a nightmare to work with. From what I've heard from everybody in Lexington, the way, like, even Dilly, I talked about this with Anna yesterday. When I contacted Deb Moore, who's the SID for basketball, she got back to me right away with the Mark Pope stuff. It was like, James, I'll save this email. Get back to me in a couple of weeks when things die down. And we'll have him. You can have him on your show. When I emailed her about Cal, she forwarded me along to somebody else. Says, I don't deal with him. This person does. That person never got back to me. So I understand the Calipari fatigue that was going on. And again, I'm okay with the Pope hire. I'm not trying to make this out to be like, I don't think Mark Pope can succeed here. I do. But at the same time, there's going to be an uncomfortable, at times, maybe painful transition. It isn't just going to be. We should have learned the lesson from the coaching search. And I think that's my number one takeaway here, is the coaching search was, same as Louisville. We're Kentucky basketball. We're going to go out there. We're going to get Dan Hurley. We're going to get Scott Drew. We're going to get Billy Donovan. We're going to get one of those three guys.
Dare I say, big boy coaching
search. Big boy coaching search. And I was the leader of that charge, 100%. And then it splashed in the face like cold water. None of those guys wanted it. So you end up with a guy like Mark Pope. Okay, that's a reality check. Then the thought was, okay, Mark Pope will come in here, and we have all the NIL money. We're Kentucky. We're going to get everybody. And we still can. Let him do his work. He's out there recruiting right now. But what if that conversation is next? What if it's like, okay, maybe kids just won't come here just because it says Kentucky? And that's the next battle that we may have to fight here as we are. I mean, this is a brand new thing. This idea that we can just transition to be great right away with every coach that comes here might not be true.
No, and I think we knew this was coming all these years ago when you saw with Roy Williams, Coach K, Jim Boeheim, God bless Pitino and Cal, even though he's lost his fastball a little bit, but Jay Wright leaving the sport. There had to be some new faces of the sport. There just had to be. And
right. You
were taking a chance, but Mitch Barnhart basically said, I don't care about the results and what he's done in the tournament and not having any tournament wins. I want somebody I can work well with.
Yes, exactly.
And that is,
it's important.
It's important, but it's also like any aspect of life, you're going to work with difficult people. You know who I'm sure was a breeze to work with? Steve Cragthorpe.
Scott Satterfield.
And did they get you the results?
Great point.
There's going to be difficult people, and that's your job of managing egos and trying to get the... Because Cal's problem was his... He was banking, I don't want to say senioritis because I know he was working, but had his feet kicked up because of what he had done a decade prior.
Right.
And what had transpired back in 2015, 2016. When you get further and further removed away from that, you don't get the luxury of being able to kick your feet up as much anymore. And then it's like you have to have some results. It's the guy that is, you know, he's been there 20 or 30 years, and it's kind of like, I'm on cruise control. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it came across as versus what you're banking on with Mark Pope. Hey, I'm hopeful that he's going to be able to be this guy to try it harder. But Drew says it all the time with Pat Kelsey, his give a bleep meter.
Like, yes, off the charts for Cal's, Mark Pope, 100%.
Cal's give a bleep meter wasn't there.
It wasn't.
But to sit there and just do the hostage video 14 days or 10 days prior with Mitch Barnhart and just to arrive where Cal was like, I'm going to try this Arkansas stuff and then get somebody who's just going to line personality-wise, that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And it may work, but it's just basically your AD saying, I'm working with somebody I can get along with. I don't really care about the results right now. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Trust me, he'll be good. All right, let's read some texts, and then we'll get to a break. Get Andy Sweeney on in here. Texter, technically Drew wanted the job, but his – His, but he is henpecked by his wife.
Did you see him sign the booth yesterday?
I did see him sign the booth yesterday.
That felt like 5 years ago.
Texter Calipari missed out on several recruits. Hello. You know, he did. He missed out on several recruits. Again, I said this yesterday as well. We were in panic mode with John Calipari late into the summer last year until he got Trey Mitchell. Zvonimir Visic and Aaron Bradshaw decided to hang around. Mitch was tired of getting punked by Cal. He needed someone to respect him. That's not a Cal problem. That's a Mitch problem. I think to Phil's point, yes. Texter just got to make the tournament next year. That's the bar. No, it's not just got to make the tournament. No. That's not the bar, Kentucky. It's not just make the tournament. We're not doing that. Absolutely not.
But he'll get the grace the first year for just doing the bare minimum of getting his guys in. Then the next year, you got to do more.
Yes.
Like, that's the thing, because he hasn't won. And honestly, he probably needs to win one next year.
I agree.
Because he hasn't had any tournament wins.
Or you just have Calipari again.
Exactly.
It's the same thing. You trade a guy out, a brand new shiny coach that does the exact same thing
with a personality that meshes well with Mitch.
Exactly. And maybe it's Mitch's hubris. Texter, Kellen crushed that and nothing he said was wrong. I'll rip that KP Texter's heart out like Indiana Jones. Bleep that guy. Texter, he's not a villain for his time here, but he is sort of a villain for how he left. Again, fair enough, understandable. The end was not good. Texter, Reed, along with every other player, was leaving, and after Cal, Reed and Rob being top 10 recruit, was always going to the NBA. Absolutely. 100%. Last one here. Texter, KSR stands are the worst Kentucky fans. Blame Matty Bangs, bum ass.
What would have you done? I meant to ask you, having been, and I know we're at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
What would you have done if you got the applause like Matt Jones did on Sunday? Would you have stood up and bowed?
I would have waved at everybody.
You would have been like, Princess Wave?
Yeah, Princess Wave. All right, let's get out of here. Not get out of here. The show's still going on. Let's say goodbye to our good friend Phil Baker, Andy Sweeney. He'll be coming on here soon enough. You got any plans tonight, Phil? What do you got going on?
No, I was telling you during the break, a massive branch fell down in my yard.
Yes.
So I'm like going to be out there like a working man sawing it down.
Working man.
Getting some flannel on, like a BBN or out there.
I got some flannel you can borrow if you need it.
I bet I do. Straight from Kohl's.
All right, let's talk about our good friends at 812 Hemp. 420 Thunder Sale is here. You heard that right. The 420 Sun Thunder Sale, because Thunder's on 420, and this sale starts today. It's the best time of year, and we are celebrating 420 in a big way with Thunder over Louisville and the best sale of the year from April 18th that starts today to the 22nd. 25% off everything in store and online. Let me repeat that. 25% off everything in store and online. Use code 420FUN. Also, check out their booth at Thunder over Louisville. I'll be out at 812 Hemp tomorrow. We'll be in the show out there to celebrate Thunder over Louisville and them being the official hemp and CBD provider of the Kentucky Derby 150 celebration. And come out and get 25% off of anything and everything in the store. Happy 420 from our good friends at 502 Hemp and 812 Hemp.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.